Deva Sudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacharesha Tarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasuti Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Verse 14. Yad Atad Yatcha Tadyacha manumasarascha hatyas tvayadya.
Tadyacha manumasarascha hatyas tvayadya.
Modeta sadurapi vrishchika sarpahatya.
Modeta sadurapi vrishchika sarpahatya.
Lokascha nivritimita pratiyanti sarve.
Lokascha nivritimita pratiyanti sarve.
Rupam na sringa vibhayaya janasmaranti.
Rupam na sringa vibhayaya janasmaranti.
Tadya chamanya masurascha hatyas tvayaja.
Tadya chamanya masurascha hatyas tvayaja.
Modeta sadurapi vrishchika sarpahatya.
Modeta sadurapi vrishchika sarpahatya.
Lokasya nivritamita pratayanti sarve.
Lokasya nivritamita pratayanti sarve.
Rupam nrsinga vibhayaya jana smaranti.
Rupam nrsinga vibhayaya jana smaranti.
Or cease your anger now that my father, the great demon Hiranyakasipu, has been killed. Since even saintly persons take pleasure in the killing of a scorpion or a snake, all the worlds have achieved great satisfaction because of the death of this demon. Now they are confident of their happiness, and they will always remember your auspicious incarnation in order to be free from fear. Purport. The most important point in this verse is that although saintly persons never desire the killing of any living entity, they take pleasure in the killing of envious living entities like snakes and scorpions. Hiranyakasipu was killed because he was worse than a snake or a scorpion, and therefore everyone was happy. Now, there was no need for the Lord to be angry. The devotees can always remember the form of Nrisimhadev when they are in danger, and therefore the appearance of Nrisimhadev was not at all inauspicious. The Lord's appearance is always worshipable and auspicious for all sane persons and devotees. Translation: My Lord Nrisimhadev, please therefore cease your anger now that my father, the great demon Hiranyakasipu, was being killed. Since even saintly persons take pleasure in the killing of a scorpion or a snake, all the worlds have achieved great satisfaction because of the death of this demon. Now they are confident of their happiness, and they will always remember your auspicious incarnation in order to be free from fear. Here, Prahlad is describing the anger, Manyu, that Nrisimhadev exhibited. This anger was very special. It was greater than any other anger. The devatas, when they saw the anger of Nrisimhadev, they were frightened. They had never seen such anger, even in the appearance of the Supreme Lord. So Nrisimhadev is a very special avatar of the Lord. He is described as being very ferocious. Sometimes the Lord fights with other demons. Varaha fought with his brother Hiranyaksha, and Krishna fights with demons also. Yeah. But the Supreme Lord is very angry because Hiranyakasipu had tormented his devotee Prahlad so much. And so he had a very intense anger
against Hiranyakasipu. So
when he appeared, it was a very surprising form. Even the devatas were astonished by this form of the Lord. Now when the Lord gets very angry and ferocious, he needs a suitable form for that. So the form of the lion was very suitable for this. You know, the lion is the king of the beasts, and it attacks the other animals and it tears them apart with its claws. It's very ferocious. Both the tiger and the lion are famous for being, you know, ferocious animals, and they attack. So therefore, when the Lord took the form of Narasimha, half man and half lion, it was very suitable to express the great anger and to present himself very ferociously against Hiranyakasipu. The anger was so great that it could not be contained. And even after Narasimhadev had killed Hiranyakasipu, he was still angry. It could not be contained. Just like in the material world, somebody is angry, and the anger will continue a long time even after the cause of anger is finished. The body will still be affected like that. So Narasimhadev was also very angry, and he had killed Hiranyakasipu, so the source of his anger was finished. But the anger was so intense that it didn't stop even after that, and the devatas were afraid to approach. Even Lakshmi Devi was afraid to approach Narasimhadev because of this anger. But we should not think that this anger is anything material. It is not like the anger of this material world. The anger of this material world is considered bad or faulty because it is due to our attachment to material things. Our anger is due to frustration when we cannot fulfill our desires, and it becomes very intense the more attachment we have. So if we're attached to someone and someone insults that person, then we become very angry. If we have some sense gratification, someone interrupts it, then we become very angry. Sometimes people have a car and somebody bumps into the car, they're attached to their car, therefore they become angry when somebody hits their car. Like this. So we have different attachments, and when there is interruption to our enjoyment, then we become very angry. So the cause of our anger is a material attachment and sense gratification. So this is not proper. This type of anger is not proper. It is based on sense gratification. Sense gratification itself is not proper for the jiva. So therefore, it is, and it's also destructive. Kama is in the mode of passion, and anger is in the mode of ignorance. Once we become angry, then we lose our sense of judgment. And our intelligence is lost. We don't know what is proper anymore, and we'll do all sorts of foolish things. So anger is in the mode of ignorance, and from anger then we will do all sorts of sinful things. So in the material world, anger is criticized, and it must be controlled. It is one of the, and even in devotional service, though we are not, one of the angas is not morality and things like that. Still, we have to have sense control, control of anger, control of senses, lust, etc. There has to be some control, otherwise we could not practice devotional service. Therefore it is criticized in material world and in devotional service, display of anger. Even in the Vedas there is some verses about this to control anger. But we see that Narasimhadev also can display anger in spite of it being such a bad thing in this material world. Narasimhadev also can display this anger. But when the Lord himself displays this anger, there is no fault in it. The anger is due to his attachment to his devotee. So the Lord also has attachment. He is attached to his devotee. And when the devotee is disturbed, then the Lord will become angry. So we'll say, oh, the Lord also has attachments. Yes, he does. But it is not like our attachments in this material world. We have attachments also, but the attachment is with the attempt to get our enjoyment independent of Krishna. Krishna is the natural enjoyer. He is the one who deserves all the enjoyment. So he can also have attachment to the objects of his enjoyment, and we cannot criticize him for that. Of course, the difference is that the Lord is attached to the devotee who responds to him, and the devotee is attached to the Lord. And that attachment that Krishna has for the devotee is a natural thing, and the devotee's attachment to the Lord is also natural. And this is what we call love, or prema. So when this is disturbed by the demons, then the Lord will become angry. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I'm equal to everyone. I don't like anyone. I don't hate anybody. But for one who worships me with devotion, I am in him and he is in me. I have a special attraction to my devotee. So the acharyas explain that, yes, the Lord is equal to everyone, and if he shows special attraction for his devotee, we should not criticize the Lord for that. That is not a fault. That he shows special favor to his devotee. We cannot criticize him for that. It is natural that if the jiva shows some affection for the Lord should respond to that equally. So in general, the Lord is equal, he's neutral, he does not play favorites unjustly, but when the devotee shows affection for the Lord will respond to that. So if we show affection and attachment for the Lord will show attachment to us. And when we show great attachment to the Lord, as Prahlad did, he was completely attached to the Lord, so he was always thinking of him in all cases. When he was thrown off the cliff, he was thinking only of the Lord. He was not even thinking, save me, Lord. He was simply thinking of the Supreme Lord, that's all. He was very attached to the Lord. And, of course, the Lord did save him. So, he had great attachment to the Lord. He was always thinking of the Lord in all circumstances. And, consequently, the Lord responded to that. And he was always thinking of his devotee. So, therefore, he saved him in all circumstances. And, as we know, the Lord is not so much disturbed when somebody insults him or disturbs him, but he's very disturbed when someone disturbs his devotee. The Lord is more disturbed when his devotee is disturbed than when he himself is disturbed. So there's a cause of great anger. That just is in the case of Ambarish. When Ambarish was threatened, then the Lord took particular anger and he chased him with his Sudarshan Chakra, the Durvasa Muni. So when Prahlad was tormented by his father, then it was natural that Narasimhadev showed great anger. So this anger was very intense, and it shows the intensity of the anger of Narasimhadev shows the intensity of his love for his devotee. And so we cannot criticize the Lord for that. Our anger is due to our selfish motives to get sense gratification for ourselves, separate from the Lord, at the expense of someone else in this material world. The Lord's anger is due to the problems that his devotees suffer in relation to obstacles in this material world. So it is an aspect of his love of his devotee, not of his desire for some sense gratification. So therefore the Lord's anger is very, very special. It cannot be criticized at all. So this was a remarkable display of anger, more than at any other time, because of the great problems that Hiranyakasipu caused for Prahlad. So therefore the Lord became especially angry, and he manifested the form of Narasimhadev to manifest ferocity and anger in relation to Hiranyakasipu, and he killed him. And still his anger was there afterwards. So we know that Prahlad was able to pacify Narasimhadev. No one else could do that. Even Lakshmi Devi was afraid to approach Narasimhadev because she'd never seen him so angry. Though she is the constant companion of the Lord, and she has witnessed to all of his different avatar forms and all of his lilas. Still, she had never seen anything so special as this. But actually, Rupa Goswami says in Langu Bhagavatamrita that there are three special forms of the Lord. The Lord appears and manifests some of his qualities in the different avatar forms, but three are very special. That is Krishna, Rama, and Narasimha. They're called Purna Avatar because they display special, more qualities, more powers of God. And so Narasimha Dev is special because he is showing this power, great power, more than other forms. So he showed this in the form of anger and his ferocious nature. This is actually one of the rasas in the spiritual world, Raudra, or anger. Though usually we think of it as negative, it also has its counterpart in the spiritual world, and this anger. So it's a secondary rasa in the spiritual world. And sometimes the Lord likes to display this. In the spiritual world, the Lord may also become angry sometimes. When Mother Yasoda puts Krishna down to take the milk off the fire, and then Krishna becomes angry and he kicks the pot of yogurt and breaks it and runs away. He gets angry sometimes. These are little displays of anger. Or sometimes in the pastimes with the other children, the other children tease Krishna and Krishna becomes angry. Or sometimes in pastimes with the gopis, Radharani will do something, Krishna will become angry. And sometimes Radharani will become angry at Krishna. She's very famous for being very temperamental, and sometimes she'll become very angry at Krishna and refuse to see him. So in the world, the transcendental world, the spiritual world, we have displays of anger as secondary sentiments supporting the main rasas, the five primary rasas. Raudra. Raudra, Raudra, Raudra. Like Rudra, Raudra. R-A-U-D-R-A. So in the material world, of course, we get the other reflection, just like we have all the primary rasas in the material world in a perverted way. So the secondary rasas are also there in the material world in a perverted way. Not in relation to Krishna. So we have anger and fear and lamentation and terror, ghastliness, and humor, secondary rasas. We have them in the material world also, but not in relation to Krishna. And we have the primary rasas also not in relation to Krishna. That is, we have friendship and service and parental affection and conjugal relationship. We have all these things in the material world, but not in relation to Krishna. Yeah. So Krishna displays in the spiritual world this anger as a secondary rasa. But when he appears as Narasimha Dev, then this becomes very prominent. It's no longer in a secondary position. It's a prominent rasa in the Narasimha Dev's form. In this way, the Lord has an opportunity to display this secondary rasa in a prominent way by taking the form of Narasimha Dev. So Prahlad is requesting here that Narasimha Dev give up his anger because Hiranyakasipu was being killed. And it is natural, and there's no fault in killing a scorpion or a snake. And the reason for that is because they are considered very envious creatures, and without any cause they will sting and bite and kill. So Hiranyakasipu is like that, and he is envious, and without cause he will torment and kill and torture and do so many things. And that's exactly what he did with Prahlad. He tried to torture him in many ways and kill him. So he is considered very envious, just like the scorpion and the snake. So if he is he deserves to die. So Prahlad is saying that therefore Narasimha Dev has done a very wonderful act by doing this. Everyone is very, very happy with this. And all of the lokas, all of the planetary systems, all of the people and all the planetary systems, all in the Deva lokas and Brahma loka, everywhere in the universe, they're very, very happy with this act of killing, even though generally killing is not good. When and display of anger is not good also. When Narasimhadev comes, gets angry and kills Hiranyakasipu, everybody is rejoicing. It's a wonderful event. Of course, the devas themselves were upset with Hiranyakasipu due to his great austerities. He got great power, and he was able to disturb the whole universe and gain power in the whole universe. As I said yesterday, sometimes the demons become powerful in spite of the fact that the natural orders of the devas are in control. Sometimes the demons become very powerful. So Hiranyakasipu was such a demon. By doing great austerities, he got great power. Even benediction from Lord Brahma. And with that power, he was able to disturb everyone. And therefore, no one could tolerate in this material world his existence. So, of course, Prahlad was persecuted, and the Lord didn't like that. But the devatas also were unhappy with the situation. They were also disturbed by everything. So when Hiranyakasipu was killed, everybody was relieved. Everyone was rejoicing. And they were all looking, and they could see how Narasimhadev was fighting with Hiranyakasipu and killing him. And they were very, very excited. This, of course, is like in the material world. We also have that rasa. Sometimes there is, of course, the people see the movies and stuff like that. They see the hero killing somebody, they get very excited. Yeah. Or on television, they may have a wrestling match or something. They're fighting with each other. So one gets very excited to see the winner win. And he may fall in danger, and then he wins. So the devas were all looking when this whole combat was going on. And sometimes, actually, the Lord would play with Hiranyakasipu, and he would make him almost win sometimes. And then everyone would get an anxiety. And then the Lord would again win, start winning. And then everyone would be very excited and happy again. And so finally, then Hiranyakasipu was killed. Narasimhadev finally killed him. And everyone was very relieved, very excited by this. So this caused great happiness and great joy for all the inhabitants of all the lokas. They got great satisfaction from this and great relief. The event itself, of course, they liked the result because Hiranyakasipu was killed, but the very appearance of the Lord itself is very pleasing. The Lord comes to display his pastimes for the pleasure of his devotee. So when the devas and the devotees, they see the pastimes of Narasimhadev killing Hiranyakasipu, then this is gives great pleasure to the devotees to see the prowess of the Lord. The Lord is one of the rasas is also virya. Virya means courageousness, bravery, chivalry, like that. Great expertise in fighting, etc. So this is also displayed in this lila of Narasimhadev and Hiranyakasipu. He's fighting with him, and it displays his great virya, his great power to fight, as well as his manifestation of anger. So this is very pleasing to the devotees of the Lord, and they become very, very satisfied. So this is the spiritual pleasure. It is the result of seeing the pastimes of the Lord. The devotees are very satisfied. So when we are in problems in this material world, if we remember the pastimes of the Lord, we get relief from our problems. So according to the pastime of the Lord, there's a suitable, according to our own problems, we have a suitable pastime of the Lord to remember to reduce our problem. So if one is in fear and in danger, then one can remember Lord Narasimhadev. So actually when Prabhupada was sick at one time, I think in LA or something, then he told the devotees, then you chant the Narasimhadev mantras for protection. So then that is how we started chanting Narasimhadev prayers and after the Mangal Arati. For protection. Of course, someone could say that, well, this is very fruitive because we're asking for protection from the Lord. And generally, we should not ask for anything from the Lord except service to the Lord. Nevertheless, it is also the nature of the devotee to be dependent upon the Lord. And one of the qualities of surrender, sharanapati or sharanagati, is that one feels that the Lord is one's protector, and He will protect me in all circumstances. So therefore, if we are in difficult circumstances, then it is not unnatural for us to call up to the Supreme Lord rather than to call up to someone in the material world. So therefore, it is acceptable in devotional service to call out to the Supreme Lord for protection. Therefore, Prabhupada mentions here, when the devotee is in danger, they can remember the form of Narasimhadev. We should, of course, all the time we should be remembering the Supreme Lord. We should always remember and never forget Him in all circumstances. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, He says, "You fight, but you fight and you remember me. Mamanusmara yudhyacha. You remember me and you fight." In all cases, so you're fighting, you're shooting your arrows, but you should remember me in all cases. So whatever, and sometimes Arjuna is also in danger and he's also remembering the Lord. And sometimes he's happy, he's remembering the Lord also in that case. So the instruction is we should always be remembering the Lord in all cases. So when we're in danger, we should also remember the Lord. And the form of Narasimhadev, of course, is very suitable, because we find that Prahlad was in danger and then Narasimhadev came and he saved him from his dangerous position, his circumstances. So therefore Narasimhadev is famous for taking away danger, bad circumstances. On the higher level, of course, we call Narasimhadev the destroyer of obstacles to bhakti, bhakti vigna vinashana. He is destroying the obstacles to bhakti, not just material circumstances. And actually that is what the when the devotee prays for protection, that is what he wants. He does not care so much for his material body or anything like that. But he also must do his service to the Supreme Lord. That is what he does not want interrupted. So any interruption or disturbance to his service is a problem. So that is the great danger, that our service is interrupted. So therefore the devotee is praying for Narasimhadev to preserve him so he can continue his service to Krishna. There's nothing wrong in that. We have an eagerness to perform service, and therefore we pray for the protection of Narasimhadev so we can continue that. So in this way, Prahlad is expressing his prayer. So any questions?
Maharaj, with the ideal perception we should maintain in order, in cases where we're trying to deal with our own anger, what's the ideal perception we should have in our mind in order to deal with that?
How do we deal with our anger? Well, we should know that our anger is of course difficult, because once you become angry, then you lose your intelligence. That's the problem. This is the whole, at once you get that anger, then you lose your intelligence, and then you fall into the material world, so to speak, by doing activities which, you know, put us into worse positions still. Our karmas become worse because of that. So once it's extended to anger, then it's very difficult, actually. However, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, still you have to control. It is difficult to control the mind. Nevertheless, we have to do it.
Is there somewhere we can actually perceive the situation in order to help us at
least? So therefore, we have to make that attempt to control. Though it is difficult to control anger and lust, etc., we still have to make that attempt. And we have to practice, keep on practicing doing it. So Krishna says, Abhyasena tu kunti vairagena chagrihate. It may be difficult to control anger and mind and senses, etc., but he says you have to do it. And to do that, then you have to practice it. So when one becomes angry, then one has to begin to practice controlling it. When one realizes one is angry, then one has to begin practicing to control the anger. Of course, then we'll say, how are we going to get rid of the anger or whatever? But as we know, the anger is due to some sort of attachment that we have. And therefore we have to give up those attachments also. And we should understand that our anger is... we'll think that the cause of our anger is somebody else. But the cause of our anger is our attachment. It's due to us and our attachment. Anyone can do anything, but if we're not attached, then we won't get angry. Huh? But yet we'll blame somebody else for the anger, but actually it's due to our attachment. Somebody else certainly may do something, but nevertheless, the anger is caused by our attachment to a certain situation. Huh? So we have to realize that eventually. But it takes practice, of course. Anger is like a spontaneous reaction due to our spontaneous deep attachments. We have to learn to control that. Otherwise, it is like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, you are simply under the modes of material nature, and you're pushed around by the modes of material nature. So when you're in that position of lust and anger, then basically that's what happens. Your free will is not really operating. You're simply responding to the events according to anger and lust. Where's the intelligence? Free will is the proper use of free will is based upon intelligent decision. But when you're in lust and anger, then there's no intelligence left. So therefore, you're simply pushed around by the gunas helplessly. So karma is all, we can say the karmas are controlling you almost in that position. But as we know, for the human being, that does not have to be. Every human being has the free will, and he has the possibility of conquering over that position of being pushed around by the modes. So therefore, the opportunity is there in the human form of life to control and use intelligence to respond properly instead of responding according to attachment and anger. But it takes work. It definitely takes work, because generally we just react immediately to an event. But the real test is that we should control that reaction and instead respond with using our higher intelligence.
Should you go away from the source, Maharaj? Should you go away from the source, the thing that's making you angry?
Oh, yes.
Should you stay away from that?
Yeah. Well, that's definitely helpful. In other words, we have vairagya also, abhyasa and vairagya. So practice is one thing, and stay away from the causes of our attachment and our anger. And that will also help us. Well, it may incite you to more anger, more whatever. So better we collect our thoughts at least and learn to control. Qualities. Angas.
One of them was not to tolerate blasphemy of Vaishnavas.
Yeah.
Now, someone's a genuinely angry person. Can he sort of dovetail his anger
that
way?
Yeah.
Sort of a purifying process.
That Prabhupada gives that example in relation to Hanuman. Hanuman vented his anger upon the city of Lanka and Ravana. And this way he was engaging his anger in devotional service. So therefore, Prabhupada says, yes, against the demons, one can display that anger. But on the other hand, one has to be very careful, because that anger, of course, we can direct it that way, but then we may also direct it in other ways also at the same time. So we have to be very, very careful of how we direct that anger. But now there is... we can say that, as I said, the rasas are naturally there in the jiva also. So all rasas are there, the seven secondary and the five primary. So one of them is the raudra rasa. It's there in the jiva. It has to be used properly. But to do that, then we need proper intelligence also, some training. So someone on a low platform, ignorance, who is always angry, he may misdirect that anger also sometimes and not put it in the right place and direct it against devotees instead. Things to be careful.
Another question was, so a contradiction in my mind. I think it's the purport for 1865 Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada says that we should only focus on mind in the form of Krishna and no other form. But then he installs Shrimashingadeva in all the authors of Vishnu. So don't know what to think.
Well, just like Rupa Goswami, when he gives the definition of Krishna Anusiranam, then in the comment commentary of Jiva Goswami says Krishna means not only Krishna, but also avatar forms and Vishnu forms. So it's all within bhakti, pure bhakti. And by concentrating any of those forms, one can get prema. However, as far as the Lord Chaitanya and the Gaudiya Sampradaya is concerned, we take Krishna and Radha Krishna, particularly that form, as the highest form, or the most complete form, expression of rasa. That's also mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion. It says, yes, Vishnu and Krishna are the same in, as far as tattva or siddhanta is concerned. They're both God, and God is one. So we can't say they're different. They're abheda. However, the difference is in terms of rasa, and particularly the rasa lila. So the conjugal expression of conjugal rasa there in Krishna, which is not there in Vishnu. So that's what makes Krishna special. He's an embodiment of all rasas in his most complete form. That is the difference. So, we say worship Krishna, because that's the highest form. But we see, even in Lord Chaitanya's lila, not everybody was worshipping Krishna, because some were worshipping Rama. Anupam, who was the brother of Rupa and Sanatan, he was worshipping Rama, and then his brothers told him, you should worship Krishna. And he said, I cannot do that. So then it was permitted. Lord Chaitanya said, yeah, okay, so okay, you can worship Rama. And same with Murarigupta, he was also worshipping Rama, and Lord Chaitanya ordered him, then you have to worship Krishna. And then after thinking about the whole night, then he came back and said, I cannot do that because I've given my heart to Rama. And then Lord Chaitanya said, okay, that's alright. So one may have a natural inclination towards some other form of the Lord, and if that is strong and natural attachment, then that is permissible also. But as far as our philosophy goes, we think Radha Krishna is the highest. Now if we choose Radha Krishna as the highest, then of course this becomes our main focus. But nevertheless, we see instructions also there to read the Bhagavatam. In the Bhagavatam we have the story of Nishrimadev and Dhruva and so many other forms of the Lord are there. So therefore, and the devotees relish it. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his favorite stories in Bhagavatam, he'd like to hear the story of Dhruva and Prahlad. So he also relished the stories of Prahlad and Nishrimadev. But we take the highest form as Krishna.
Someone tries to stop or attack Harinam in India.
If somebody attacks.
Yeah.
Then we have to be careful again. There's many instances where people, of course, they become angry and they attack the other person also. But it also leads to problems sometimes also, further problems. There's some cases in Europe, and I think it was in Sarajevo or Belgrade or something. Then it became a bigger scene because of that. So something which is small became more and more big because of the fighting that took place. So one has to be a little bit careful also in that case. If it is upon oneself, of course, one tolerates. If it's on someone else, then of course, the instruction is that we don't tolerate the offense against the Lord or his devotee. So for other devotees, of course, we should do something. As for ourselves, we should not become, upset by that.
All right. I believe it was Devamriya Swami that mentioned once that somebody asked a question, how do we know if we're being Krishna conscious? He said, you'd be happy all the time. So, if that is the case, and if we see a devotee being attacked either verbally or physically, and we display our anger, would it, and if the intention of a Krishna, if the motivation was a Krishna conscious motivation, it stands to reason that after the incident is over, we would feel happy, or would we be like Lord Nishimadev and still have anger? Because I've been told that if you're still angry, because I also the story about Srila Prabhupada when he was angry and he scolded someone, then after that straight away he would just go back and be normal. And I've seen that especially with my guru Maharaj. He's been so angry with the body and he stopped and he said, I had to do that because I was teaching him a lesson. So if we are to accept the Shastri teaching that yes, you can be angry if you've got a tendency to be angry, then dovetail and be angry at people who are offensive to devotees, But then if we still maintain that anger after we feel like shaking like that, are we actually being Krishna conscious? If it really...
That would mean we're still under the modes, yeah? In that case. So that's why I say a little dangerous sometimes, because that anger can also be reflected in other relationships also.
Because
so you have to be careful.
One evening where I was sitting, we were preaching to this one chap sitting there, and he was trying to preach to me about Mayavada philosophy. And then with a devotee who was very senior, and he got angry, but he thought that's it. So he got angry and he yelled, and not yelled, but he really smashed it big time. And at the end of the conversation, the guest stood up and he said, I'm really sorry. And he went to actually embrace the devotee, just basically to apologize, but that particular angry. And I thought, oh, this is like counteractive to what we're actually trying to do.
True. Yeah, yeah.
And it was sort of like, he was just sorry. He couldn't accept the man's apology, and he didn't want to discuss it any further. So it sort of
was not so useful for him also, ultimately. Yeah. So one has to be careful, as I said, in displaying that anger, because sometimes it may go out of control and fall into the modes.
Maharaj, in relation to this, I sort of feel that one, to actually protect anyone, not by anger, that's, you know, this is a Jew. So in relationship to, you know, someone attacks a devotee, you, to get the actual get up and go to sort it out, you've got to get angry. There's no doubt I've done that. You've got to actually do that. Now, you may still be a little angry with them afterwards, but your whole motivation is not me, you know, protect these people.
Though I think on the higher level, maybe anger is not so good, because anger makes you lose your judgment.
Yes,
so those who are in martial arts, actually, they're very equipoised when they're fighting. They're not angry. They're completely equipoised. Otherwise, the anger will get in, you know, the judgment will get affected by the anger.
What I'm saying is that, sort of that initial anger has to be there to get you to do the thing.
Yeah.
Because you've got to confront someone.
Yeah.
You can't sort of play that this guy wants to knock around. Yeah.
But it has to be, let's say, under control also.
I agree.
Now, what is it meant for the body to be fearless? And how can one...
Fearless. Of course, fear is caused by basically our identification with our material body, because the material body is perishable. that's our basic fear. And of course, we identify that with the soul also, because we don't think we're a soul, we think we're a body. So then we think, I am perishable. So then we develop all sorts of anxieties over that. So if one gets off the bodily concept, then naturally that fear will disappear. Because if we understand we are eternal, then there's no cause of fear anymore. There's no cause of destruction or change or anything when we know we're eternal. So the more one becomes Krishna conscious, then the less that fear will be exhibited. And the more bodily conscious we are, then of course the more the fear will be there. So it is a natural result of one's own spiritual realization, you can say. Yeah.
Yesterday, you said one should test the lotus feet of the light. But he should be qualified to do that. Or is that qualified?
Oh, yeah. Well, in the deity form of the Lord, not everyone can go up and touch the Lord's feet. So only the pujari, or one who is qualified by second initiation, he can touch the Lord actually, huh? And do deity worship. Whereas others, they can't go up and touch the Lord. And most temples, the only temple I know of, I think, is the one in Maharashtra, Pandharpur. Everyone can go and embrace the deity there. But most temples won't allow that, to touch the Lord's feet. Of course, you could do it by meditation, but as far as, you know, the deity forms, generally no one is allowed to touch them except the worshipper, you know, the intimate worshippers.
But you have deity in your home, and you have no deity, then you always do that. You don't have to do this or that.
Yeah, if you have your own deities. But we don't allow everybody to touch the deities, huh? Something like that. If you have your deities, you touch, but you won't allow everyone to come in and touch the deities also.
Maharaj, I can understand that when Vishnu says beside the deity of a certain planet, they want to have children.
How do we understand?
He's the divine deity.
How do we understand that?
Yeah.
Oh, that he's in. Well, also we find that Surya Narayan is there in the sun. So the Lord actually predominates over certain planets and controls through those planets certain influences, etc. He expands himself. The Lord is inconceivable, so he can expand his energy and expand his forms without any difficulty into anywhere, any place, at any time.
Does that mean he actually
resides there? It doesn't actually say, but he's like the predominating deity there, so maybe it's that he is worshipped there and his, let's say, his influence is there. And it doesn't say he's actually residing there. Remember all the time. Yeah.
How can we improve our smarana?
Yeah, I was thinking of the Lord.
Yeah, how we should proceed in that way in that direction? Should we try to possibly chant some deity or bring our duties?
Well, forcibly or whatever, more voluntarily, I think we should say. We should, by our free will and our intelligence, you know, guide our minds so that we're always thinking of Krishna, either chanting or some other form. Of course, chanting is considered the main way, in which easiest way to remember the Lord. Of course, there's other ways to do it also, but through chanting, that's a very easy way to do that. So if one is chanting, either in the mind or with the tongue, as much as possible, then that's, let's say, easiest way to remember the Lord at all times. In relation to that, like Krishna.